Let us turn our Bible to Galatians chapter 4. Well, instead, from verses 1 to 11, our meditation will be from verse 1 to verse 7. Okay, for our consideration this afternoon, verses 1 to 7 of Galatians chapter 4. Okay, follow me as I read from the King James Version of Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 7. Verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors, until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God to Christ. May God bless us in the reading of his holy and precious word. We're coming to the end of the year. I got more calls from banks that offer to us personal loan that will give us the spending power to buy ourselves gifts as well as presents here in this Christmas season, so that we may have the spending power to go on a holiday, okay, or to have some cash on hand for winning purpose. But once you borrow, it means that you got to pay back. Well, either you pay by installment with interest or a lump sum. But to get a loan means you are in debt. Well, personally, I got 2 loans which I have to service every month, car loan and home loan. And I thank God for his provision thus far, which are able to pay off the debts, bit by bit, month by month, by God's provision. Now, we also have one debt that no one can pay. And this debt is with us. The moment we are born into this world, we are all fixed with this debt. It is our sin debt. And no amount of money can pay for this debt. No amount of good works can also pay for this debt. Why? Because the payment is not by money. The payment is also not by good work. And so what is the payment? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And so the payment of this sin debt, or this sin debt, is death. And this death is eternal death. It's a separation that we experience from God. In fact, we experience this spiritual death the moment we are born into this world. How is it that we do not know God? How is it that someone has to share with us the gospel of Jesus Christ? How is it that we have to read God's word in order to know God? In order to know him personally and intimately? Well, it is all because we have been separated from God. You and I have this sin debt the moment we are born into this world. And so how can we pay? We can only pay by death. We will end up in hell. We will perish in the lake of fire. In fact, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's the ultimate judgment. The judgment that we will all end up in the lake of fire, to be burned forever. Well, of course, some would want that when death comes, just disappeared and no more. But it is no more. There is more. There is the judgment of God that is coming. And so how will we answer for our sin? We can't answer. We got to pay by death for this sin debt that we owe unto God. But God does not want us to perish in the lake of fire. God wants us to be saved. So in other words, we are not hopeless. God gave to us the way of escape. And that's what we are going to consider this afternoon. And how our sin debt can be redeemed. Not by our own effort. Not through us. but by what God has provided the way of escape through His only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the only Redeemer that God has sent to save us from our sin. Okay? And so, we thank God for this wonderful opportunity in this Christmas that we're able to come before His presence, okay, to retell how God has kept His promise to save His people from His sin. Well, can you imagine if God were to forget what He had promised? Then it would be disastrous. But God remembered, and God kept His promise 2,000 years ago. The very first Christmas is the reason, you know, why we are able to gather this afternoon to remember what the Lord has done. Okay, so may the Lord help us as we consider this passage this afternoon. Now, Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in the region of Galatia, of which many of them were Jewish converts. Now, they were all rooted in the law of Moses, because all their life they kept the ceremonial laws, which served to remind them and point them to Christ, whom God has promised to them. And so after hearing the gospel, they were able to relate, okay, because all the ceremonial laws point to Christ, which they have been keeping faithfully. Well, from a young boy to adulthood, they've been keeping the ceremonial law faithfully. And so when they hear the gospel, how the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all these ceremonial law, everything comes to light. Everything has been fulfilled before their very eyes. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is that whom God has promised that was sent to them to save them, to redeem them from all their sins. And so the law of circumcision had been replaced by water baptism. And then the law of Passover had been replaced by the Lord's Supper. And these are the two sacraments which indicate the fulfillment that the Lord Jesus Christ has made, has done. And so the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament were completely abrogated and replaced by water baptism and Lord's Supper. But there were some false teachers who tried to cause confusion among the Jewish believers, to cause them to look to the law for salvation. Oh, you must still be circumcised. You must still keep the law in order to be saved. And so some of them were shaken. And the Apostle Paul defended the gospel of faith. Well, it is not the gospel of works, but it's the gospel of faith. We believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has always been by faith. And so how do we understand the law? Well, already in chapter 3, Apostle Paul taught them what is the function of the law. Okay, the law is to direct them to Christ, to help them realize that they are depraved. They are unable to keep the law. They can only look to Christ, the deliverer, the Messiah, whom God has appointed to save them from their sin. And so, when they look at the law, it will point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the whole world. And all things will come to light, you know, when they submit themselves to God to understand. Now Paul continues to explain in chapter 4 how the law functions. Verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Okay, already in the previous chapter, Paul has taught the believers how they are children of God by faith. Okay, they have been delivered from the curse of the law, okay, and how the law was the schoolmaster, okay, to lead them to Christ. And so as God's children, they are heirs to God's promise. And so their position has been elevated, okay, to be sons, okay, to be children of God. And then Paul in this chapter illustrates what it means to be God's children, being heir to His promise. Now Paul used the illustration of a child being grown into adulthood. And so there is a point in time when a child ceased to be a child. And then he became an adult. Okay, and became mature as an adult. Now according to the Jews, when a child passed his 12th birthday, okay, the father will bring him to the synagogue on the first Sabbath day. And there he became the son of the Lord. Okay? And there, it was significant for the son. Why? Because his past 11 years, he had been under the Father. Under the Father for the teaching of God's word, instruction had to be given to him faithfully. But then at the age of 12, he stands before the rabbi, okay, the leaders of the synagogue. And then he had to submit himself. Okay, of course, he had to make vows, okay, to commit himself to the Lord. And now he himself has to obey the law, bearing the responsibility, okay, of keeping God's law as the son of the law. So that day to the child was significant. It marks the day that he became an adult. But before that, he had to be under the Father's care. Now a child may be the heir, and a great inheritance is promised to him. It may be his right, but in his childhood it is no better than a servant. Why? Because it is under the Father. It is under instruction. It is under someone who has to teach him and guide him. And so he had to learn. Now a servant takes order from the master in the same manner. And then the child in infancy came under order and instruction. And so this leads us to verse 2. But it's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And so it is all appointed by the Father. Even the governors, the tutors, were all appointed by the Father. And how he assigned the governors and tutors to teach the child, okay, in the first 11 years. Okay, and how the child ought to live. Now, who are the tutors? Who are the governors? Now, tutors are guardians, okay, who take charge of supervising the child in his life. And then governors are stewards who take charge of handling the child's inheritance until he comes of age. And so oftentimes tutors and governors are slaves themselves. Okay, and the family would appoint them over the child in his infancy. And so as long as it is a child, he has to follow orders, okay, from the tutors and the governors, just like a slave does. And this goes on until the time appointed by the Father. Okay, a set date which is decided by the Father when the child becomes an adult. No more under the governor. No more under the tutor. And so when that day comes, he ceases to be under the power of the tutors and governors. And had become mature and was able to inherit what was promised to him. But when we consider how a Jew was taught of the law since birth, and how he had to keep the law in all the three aspects, the ceremonial law, the judicial law, as well as the moral law. Okay, as we consider that, which are all found in the law of Moses. Okay, if you want to know what are the moral law, judicial law, ceremonial law, you can turn to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, as well as Deuteronomy. And so in them, well, contain these three aspects of the law. Now after giving the illustration, what is the purpose of that? Verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now Paul relates to the believers spiritually, okay, that they were all children who were in bondage under the element of the world. Now the we identify Paul himself, okay, because he is also a Jew. Okay, he identified himself with those who were born as Jews, who had to keep all these laws. Okay, but now has come to salvation through Jesus Christ. Now the word translated element is special because it derived from the word row, R-O-W. Okay, what it means is it's a letter of the alphabet because they were arranged in row. Okay, so in other words, it tells us that it is the basic of learning which a man receives. Okay, in particular, the ceremonial law. The elements of the world are used as a basic teaching. Teaching A, okay, how a sinner is to approach God. Okay, symbols such as fire, symbols such as water, symbols such as blood, okay, to illustrate. Okay, and these are all materials and very vivid to the one undergoing the keeping of the Levitical law, okay, of the sacrificial system. Now all these are obligated. Okay, it's a duty. It's not up to the Jew. whether they want to keep or not. It is an obligation. And so every duty is minute. And so everyone who wants to approach God is to obey, to follow the same approach defined for them. Okay, how to come before God accordingly, okay, to what has been written in the Pentateuch. And so it's not left to them to decide how they want to worship God. It is prescribed. In fact, it is a bloody way, okay, in which they realize that the seriousness of sin, okay, that involves a life being taken in order to be redeemed from their sin. However, the sacrificial animals themselves, okay, are not meant to save, but as a symbol and type to point to the actual Lamb of God, okay, who's able to save, and that is Christ Himself. And so you think the element of the world is effective because they are simple to understand. So such as when we enter into the school of education, we do not straight away go to university. Okay, we enter into kindergarten. Okay, in fact, today we have pre-nursery. Okay, and then after that, nursery, kindergarten. And then move on to primary, secondary, high school, okay, and so on. And so under this element of the world, they are simple to understand. Why? Because they are meant for children. Okay? Spiritual children. Now the Jews in the Old Testament were still in their infancy when all these were introduced to them. They need to go through the kindergarten levels first. Okay? And so there are many pictures to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to help them understand the salvation plan that God has for them. The picture of sacrifice, the picture of washing, the picture of cleansing, sanctification, the picture of separation. So all these are to point to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will ultimately fulfill, okay, all that has been given to them to keep. And so the Jews were like the kindergarten children who have to see all these pictures in order to understand. But they will not be in the kindergarten level forever, because we read in verse 4, there's a time when they mature. There's a time when the Lord will say, it's enough. Okay, the time has come. Okay, in verse 4 we read, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now this is God's appointed time, according to the timetable which God has set before the foundation of the world. It is not God suddenly say, okay, now. No, He has already planned. There is a plan in our salvation. Isn't it wonderful that our salvation is all planned? It's not tikam or anyhow. You know, when we have done something good, then He look at us and then He decided to choose us. No, nothing of this sort. God has already planned before the foundation of the world who to be saved and who will not be saved. Okay? And so that is the fullness of time that was come. And so it was time for the child. Okay? Now the child has grown. No more a child, but now an adult. Time for him to graduate from the kindergarten and now to a higher level. What all these pictures that they have been looking at supposed to mean, supposed to represent. Now the real thing has come. And so this also indicates that God kept His promise. God kept His word to save sinful men from their sin. So God did not forget. But all the prophets of old came with the same message, that God will deliver them. Okay? God has not forgotten His covenant. God has not forgotten His promise to deliver them from their sin. Okay? So God kept His promise. And what did He do? He sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Now this refers to the humanity of Christ. Okay? And over here, it's very rich in theology. Why? Because it tells us who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Who this Son whom God has promised. What is He going to be? Well, He was made of a woman. Okay? He was born as a man. He did not come like an angel. He did not come even the time when He, in His pre-incarnate form, well, He put on the temporal flesh. No, now He was born. He was born as a man. Well, that's why we remember the very first Christmas. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He put on human flesh. He was born just like you and me. But there is something very special about his birth. Why? Because he says here he was made of a woman. It implied that it is a virgin birth of Christ. Because made of a woman without a man. How can it be possible? This must be supernatural. This is a miracle. For us, we are made of a woman as well as a man. There is no way we can come forth, okay, without a woman and a man. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Son whom God has promised, He was made of a woman. Now when we consider our birth, when we are born, why do we born in sin? Why? Because our parents were sinful. We have a sinful father, we have a sinful mother. And we all inherited the sinful nature from Adam, the first man who had disobeyed God. Now what about the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't He had a sinful mother? Well, let us understand. Throughout the whole conception, the Holy Spirit preserved the whole conception from sin. That's why it cannot be involved with a man. God used Mary. Well, it pleased God to use Mary because Mary has found favor with God. But it is of the Lord's mercy to preserve the whole conception from sin. And so how the Lord Jesus Christ was born without sin, so that He can be our Savior. And so He was born as a man. He was born sinless. It is a supernatural birth. It is a miraculous birth. Okay? And so even though man, okay, is sinful, but God has mercy upon man. And how man is to be saved in this manner. Now, it's not something that you and I, in our intelligence or wisdom, come up of this plan. Well, it is beyond us. This is the plan of God. God has given us this wonderful plan. Well, in fact, when we ponder over the Lord Himself, Jesus Himself, isn't He the giver of the law? Well, we know Him as the living Word, who had given us His written Word. He, the giver of the law, become the keeper of the law. Why? Because He made Himself under the law. Okay? Because He was born as a Jew. And every Jew is to be raised by keeping the law, well, since His birth. Okay? He is rightly the lawgiver, but He became the lawkeeper. And so that was the reason why the Lord had to be a man in order to keep the law for us. Now, verse 5 also gives us a reason why He became man. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son. But by keeping the law perfectly for us. From birth, throughout His whole life, He did not sin even once. Not in His thought, not in His word, not in His life. He kept the law perfectly for us. All the way to the cross. That's why He is able to save us perfectly. Well, our sin must be paid. Have we realized that? If we were to pay ourselves, we will die. We will end up in hell. And so how can we pay and live? We can't. If we were to pay, we will surely die. But thank God for providing this Redeemer. And so through Him, Christ paid for our sin by becoming our sinless sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And that was the reason why He came as a man. He came to redeem us. He came to save us. We are all attached with this sin debt. That no matter what we do, no matter how much money we have, we cannot get rid of this sin debt. Only Jesus. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. Have you believed in Him? Christ has become the Son of Man in order that you and I might become the sons of God. And how important this means. Because the word adoption means that God has accepted us into His family. We are not alienated from Him anymore. We are not separated from Him anymore. Yes, once upon a time, sin has separated from us. We are all under the bondage of sin, the power of sin, that we are not able to know God. And we are heading towards the eternal hellfire. But God gave us the hope. The hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of salvation. So we do not earn this adoption. We receive this adoption as it was given to us freely by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Spirit of God works in our hearts and calls us to believe by faith what Christ has done to redeem us. Have you ever thought of what happened if left to ourselves? What would happen? Well, we will never be saved. We will never come to God. It is all by God's mercies, God's grace, that we are redeemed from our sin debt. Now, how do we know we are sons and daughters of the Most High God? Well, it is the Spirit of God that indwells in us, that testifies and confirms our salvation. Verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, even though we are not Jews to begin with, the Jews were given the privilege to be the custodian of the law. They were given the privilege to know God intimately, even through the keeping of all the laws, the ceremonial laws, judicial laws, and the moral laws. But not the Gentiles. The Gentiles is going by the law of conscience and by the law of nature. The law is engraved in the heart. And so the Jews were privileged to be able to know God personally and have the way to approach Him in holiness, in separation, which is all to point to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will save them from their sins. And so the Jews have a mission, and that is to witness to all the pagan nations around them, to ask Gentiles, but we know that they have failed. And so this witness has been removed from them, and now has been given to the church. And so this responsibility, as we have read in Matthew 28, just now, 18 to 20, but it is a great commission given to all churches, okay, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to lead others to Christ. But it's not to grow the church, to build many levels of buildings. No, these are all not important. And what is important is the preaching of the gospel, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is that we say. It tells us of the Redeemer who is able to get us out of our sin debt successfully. And so because ye are sons, according to verse 6, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Now this is a wonderful experience which the Holy Spirit testifies in every born-again believer. So it's something that is in you. It's not something that is out of your emotion, feeling. No, God has moved you, through the understanding of His Word, that you know that the Holy Spirit is working in you, that you are able to confess your sin and give yourself to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For He is the only Redeemer that God has provided that you and I can be saved. The crying of Abba Father is that sense of intimacy, as a father who loves his son. And this is proof that we are sons and daughters of God. God is not far away. God is dealing with us as sons. He wants us to come before Him because we all belong to His family. We have been adopted to His family. For what basis? Christ. Christ is our basis. There's no way that we can be adopted into God's family, just by one day waking up, I decided to be a Christian. No way. The Holy Spirit must influence you, indwell in you, to cause an internal change. And that when you confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is none other than the Savior and Lord whom God has promised. 2,000 years ago, He was born on Christmas Day. And it is here for us. Today when we look at how the world celebrates Christmas, we know that it serves as an opportunity for us to witness to them. To witness to the whole world. As much as they try to make it commercial, they try to make it something that is lighthearted, failing to see the sin debt that they are bearing all their life, But for us, we know, because we have a Holy Spirit that testifies within us, that we can call God our Father. We realize how serious sin has separated us from God, and how it has to be dealt with. That we cannot take sin lightly anymore. Verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God to Christ. The word no more marks the position of a believer. As no more under the bondage as a servant, but now free as a son. But you compare what was before the believer came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he believed in him. Will you go back to all the ceremonial law? Well, of course the Jews, because they were brought up keeping the law. Now they saw Christ as a fulfillment, but because of some false teachers who deceived them. Are they to go back to all these ceremonial laws to keep them? Well, it will be foolishness, isn't it? Then they will have missed Christ altogether. And even Gentiles were made to keep the law. Okay? They were made to conform. Okay? To think that, oh, they can receive salvation through the law. Well, Apostle Paul had to stop all this. Only Jesus saved. So it's faith in Jesus that saved us. The law points us to Christ. The law itself does not save. It is Christ that saved. The law condemns us. And so how can we be saved? We cannot be saved through the law. And so only Christ can save us. And so if we were to turn to Christ, then we are on the right path. And that is what Apostle Paul wants to bring the believers back to the right path again. Only Jesus. Because only Jesus can give us this sonship. Can help us be restored in our relationship with God, our Father. And so wherefore thou art no more a servant. Well, you are not duty bound to keep the ceremonial laws anymore. Even the Gentiles don't go to the law to keep all the ceremonial laws. No use. It has all been fulfilled. It has all been abrogated. Look to Christ. He is a fulfillment. He is the one who died for your sin. He is the Lamb of God who taken away the sins of the whole world. Look to Him. He can save you. And He will save you when you turn to Him. And so are you redeemed? If not, why not? Well, the gift of Christmas is not something wrapped up in a box for you to open in due time or on 26th December, Boxing Day. The gift of Christmas is a person. God has given to us a person. A son. A son whom He loved. His only begotten Son. Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That appeal to you. If you are still outside God's kingdom, you are still unsure whether when you die, where will you go? Come. Come and taste that the Lord is good. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. He is a God of love. He never fails you. Come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will give you the sonship that you will become part of God's family. And you will be promised an inheritance. But we thank God that we are able to come together to worship God together. Now this worship will only be accepted if you belong to God's family. Are you redeemed? You must be redeemed if you want to belong to this family of God and have all your sin debt free, released, forgiven forever and ever. May God help us. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, cleanse us of all our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save us and to deliver us from our bondage of sin. And Lord, we pray that Thou will have mercy and grace upon each one of us, so that we may come and to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to find salvation in Him. And Lord, indeed, Thy Spirit testify within our hearts that we can cry out to Thee, calling Thee Abba Father, that show forth the closeness, the intimacy that we have because we belong to this great family of God. Help us not to take all this for granted, but that we may live our life holy and pleasing in Thy sight, showing to the world that only Jesus saved. That only Jesus can save us and to deliver us from the sin debt that we owe unto Thee. O Lord, help us. Help us to double up our effort to reach out to our unsaved loved ones that they may come and to find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, O Lord, for our Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be found faithful till the day we see Him face to face. We commit all this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.